Thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Well, tonight I want to speak about the subject I love to speak about all the time, and it's Jesus, about who he is. And you know, just recently, I think I've said this a few times, that on a weekly basis, you know, the Word of God should overwhelm you. There should be a time that if you're in the Word that you just go, oh, I cannot believe this, because it's so deep, there's so much there, and to know what Jesus has done for each and every one of us is amazing. When I start really looking from the Old Testament to the New Testament and then the book of Revelation, and I see Jesus as the creator of the heavens and the earth. He was there with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The whole Trinity was together creating. And how the Father was on the earth, moving on the earth, and creation was made. And then I start thinking about just where he was seated in the heavenly realm, and that he would really come down and be a baby and be a man and lay his life down for us. When I begin to see that huge stretch from being in that heavenly realm and coming as a baby, it blows my mind. It really freaks me out of how much Jesus has done. And I think that sometimes we can get really immune to that, because we've heard so much spoken about him, and we hear messages preached, and we feel like we've heard it all. But do we really know on a daily basis the King of Glory? Do we really know Jesus? Do we know all that he's done? And are we asking the Lord, reveal more of who you are? And I believe that each and every day we need to go deep with that and say, Jesus, I'm crying out as you're at the right hand of the Father. Will you let me know more of who you are? Reveal more of yourself to me. And I think of how many times I've let him down and how many mistakes I've made. And I just can't imagine or can't even believe how much mercy and grace and love he has for me and has for you. I look into Revelation chapter 2, and I see Jezebel, who's killed prophets and is manipulating much, and he even gives her an opportunity to get saved, to come to him. Why? Because he loves her, and his love is the most powerful force anywhere on the face of the planet, the love of God. And so I want to speak about Jesus, and I want to talk about who he is. And so, Holy Spirit, will you help us, no matter what age we are, no matter what we've come from or what we've been through, will you help us tonight to even get a deeper look and understanding into who you are, Jesus, and all that you have for us and what you will have for us, as we see moral decay and moral darkness escalating all over the earth. We also know that your light and your heart is coming to establish your kingdom on this planet. Lord, give us the understanding we need to bring understanding to others. Let us not just begin to drift away in society. But Lord, let us know you in a powerful way and be prepared. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, you've heard it before. Jesus is the first and the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Recently, Corey Stark from Kansas City came here and spoke a message about that, about God's sovereignty and what it really meant when you think about Jesus as the beginning and the end. And that's, he's the first and he's the last. That's his title in the book of Revelation. You can see it throughout the book of Revelation. And this title, when he says he's the beginning and the end, it refers to his destiny. It refers to his power and exaltation as a man. He used this title in the context of his suffering, his destiny. He had to suffer for us. He had to become a curse. Jesus became a curse. He took away every bit of our sin. It was all put upon him. And so his destiny was to suffer. His destiny was also death, which gave him the power over death. His destiny also was resurrection, which we're about ready to celebrate, which was his exaltation. Jesus is going to have first place of authority over all things. That's who he is. He's going to have absolute authority. And he will be honored by everyone that lives on the face of the planet that has called him Lord. Every king, everybody will honor this Jesus when he returns. And we need to make sure that we're functioning in his in the obedience that's necessary so that we don't lose out on the things of the Lord. In Colossians 1:18, it says this, he is the head of the body, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Jesus is going to control absolutely everything. When he returns and sets up his kingdom on the earth, he's going to control everything. That means any money, any commerce, anything. He controls it all. Revelations 1, chapter verse 5 says this. Revelations 1:5, it says, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, resurrection, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. That specifies that Jesus, his government is going to rule and reign over all the earth. And the scripture says that every nation will turn away from him. Every nation before he returns. It also says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 6, and has made us, each and every person in this room, if you've accepted Jesus into your heart, he's made each and every one of us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion. To Jesus be glory and dominion. We sang about that. You and I, this is what's so mind-boggling, that you and I are going to be kings and priests in the kingdom of God. That's what he's called us to. You say, well, man, that doesn't sound like much fun. Are you kidding me? We are going to rule and reign with the creator of all things. We're going to see things we've never seen before. We're going to experience joy at a level we've never experienced it before. All evil will be driven off the planet. All evil will be driven off the planet. And he'll rule and reign from a place of authority through righteousness and love and truth. That's Jesus. And he laid everything down so that we would be able to enter into that for all eternity. I don't know about you. We're going to talk about your resurrected bodies in a little bit, what they're going to be like. It's amazing to me. His voice is going to be heard in the grave, and people's eyes are going to open. They're going to come out of the grave. This is Jesus. This is not a story. This is not just hoping this is going to happen. The Lord is consistent, and it will happen, and you will participate in it. I believe as darkness begins to rise on the earth, so does light. And people are going to begin to love him more than they've ever loved him and understand who he is. People that have been in a religious circles are going to move from a religious circle into a place of divine intimacy and love, loving him. They're going to understand what it means about the bride and the bridegroom. What are you talking about? This is a wedding that's going to take place. A wedding, yes, because this is the love that he has for us. This is the intimacy, not some warped way of thinking. But it's an intimate time with Christ, and we become the bride of Christ, men and women, just like the sons of God and are just like their men and women. And God is going to begin to establish sons and men of oil. What does that mean? It means that we're going to love him and know him so much that the oil, the pure oil of the anointing of God is going to begin to cause us to shine and reflect who he is. That's what we had to look forward to. People are not wanting to hear Jesus. You can say God, but don't say Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus is the supreme authority over everything. He paid for everything. The enemy does not want you to speak his name. I've been in many deliverance ministry settings, and many times when people are being delivered, they're good people, but demonic activity has taken up room in their spirits, in their lives, in their soul, excuse me. And many times they just live in deception. But when you confront that enemy, one thing you know if the enemy is present that he can't say. And it's this: Jesus Christ is the true Son of God and is my Lord. And when I'm in deliverance ministries, I'll say, you must speak truth in Jesus' name, who's ever talking right now. You must speak truth. speak this, Jesus Christ is the true Son of God and is my Lord. It won't happen. Can you say that? I'm sure you can. And that proclamation is what will carry you through anything. When somebody tries to misuse you or mistreat you, you can go right to that reference point and say, Jesus Christ is the true Son of God and he is my Lord. And that's where I rest. That's where I camp. That's where I stay. That's what I speak about. God's wanting to prepare us. Jesus Christ, the firstborn. Jesus is prophet. He's the witness. Jesus, the firstborn, is priest. And Jesus is king. His reign as a faithful witness before God will continue forever like the sun. It will never stop. These roles will be fully expressed on the earth in the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign with Christ when he returns. In Psalm 89, I don't know if I gave this one to Josh or not, but Psalm 89, 27 and 37 says, I will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. I have sworn, it shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky, the sun. Jesus. Jesus, the first and the last. The firstborn from the dead in the realm of the resurrection. He is the leader over all that pertains to the resurrection, including the destiny of glorified humanity. Glorified humanity, what do I mean by that? That each and every one of you will have a glorified body someday. It won't be flesh and blood, it will be flesh and spirit. A glorified humanity is going to come on the face of the planet. And a new Jerusalem is going to be established because he's God's firstborn. He's the heir of every promise that God gave to David. John in Revelations expanded the promise by calling Jesus the firstborn from the dead. In Revelations 1:5, it says, Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead. I just love talking about him. He's our first fruits. He was the first man. To receive a resurrected body. And he was the first human, God-man, to conquer every enemy that's trying to stand against your life. Why? Because every enemy that's standing against your life is trying to kill you. And he conquered death. Oh, death, where's your sting? How about Psalm 23? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. The shadow of death. Because it's not death. Your spirit man lives forever. It's only a shadow. So when people die that know the Lord, their spirit goes to be with the Lord. Their flesh body has died, but their spirit lives on. And someday, because of their hope in glory, they will reunite with Christ and have a resurrected body just like his. That's what he says in the Word. He's conquered everything, including death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 and 21, it says, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, who have physically died. Jesus is the first fruits for those who have fallen asleep, who have died physically. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. And verse 26 says, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Philippians 3:21 says this, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Let's reread that. Who will transform our lowly body, our blood and flesh, that it may be conformed to what? To his glorious body. There's the scripture. So if you turn away from Jesus and you live a life of sin, you thumb your nose at Jesus and say, that's it, I'm done. This is what you're giving up. You will not walk in a glorified body. But his grace and mercy is sufficient. But understand, and I can't say this enough, that don't use grace as a license to sin. And when somebody begins to speak about judgment, Don't begin to look down unless they're using it as a tool to condemn people. But God is a God of love, and he's a God of judgment, and his judgment is love. And he's coming back to deal with sin and to judge the earth for all those who have walked away from his beautiful, beautiful, long-suffering grace and love. But no one wants to talk about that because they say that, you know, the Old Testament is about judgment. And now he's a God of love and grace. Well, let me tell you, he had grace in the Old Testament. He had love in the Old Testament. And he has judgment. He couldn't speak about judgment until he was what? Judged. And once he was judged, then he could speak about it. And matter of fact, in one of the Gospels, it says that the Father says, I'm giving all judgment to you, Jesus. You have all authority. And you will judge all of mankind. Jesus, I'm kind of pumped about this. I'm really excited about it because I just want you to know, just like I want to know more. I want to know more of him. I don't want to live on old stale bread or something somebody said to me a long time ago. I want to know him every day. You know, I want to be able to get up and say, Lord, I'm really sorry how I messed up yesterday. But you know what? I don't want that to have rule in my life. I want you to have rule in my life. And every day I keep moving toward him, just like we all should do. That's his desire. I'm telling you, the world is really trying to desensitize every person it possibly can so that they don't understand this beautifulness, this awesome future, this all of eternity that we have available to us through Jesus Christ, the King of glory, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, beginning and the end. He is just... This is Jesus. Jesus loves you so much. He loves me so much. When we talk about resurrected bodies, Jesus, of course, has a resurrected physical body, and it consists of supernatural flesh and bones. Natural flesh, with its blood, will not inherit the eternal kingdom. Again, Philippians 3:21. Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself, Jesus. In Luke chapter 24:39, it says, he says to someone, handle me, touch me, and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. That's key. I've said over and over, the firstborn of the dead, the source of resurrection. In 1 Corinthians, again, 15:21, shared that. In John 5:28 and through 29, it says this. John 5:28 through 29. All who are in the graves will hear his voice, and they're going to come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I did not say that. The New Testament said that. It's John 5:28 through 29. Jesus, the firstborn, made a way for the eternal destiny of the redeemed as priests and kings, as I said earlier. In Revelations 1:5 through 6, Jesus, the firstborn from the dead, made us kings and priests, I said earlier. I'm going to say it over and over. The saints will live forever and ever as priests, worshiping God in a nearness to him and filling the earth with the knowledge of God. The pinnacle of Christian experience forever is to know and experience God. And this is the essence of eternal life. And your spirit man, your spirit made up mind, body, and soul, your spirit man is the essence of who you really are. That's what that is. So when Jesus comes to live there, that's the essence of who you are. It brings your soul into submission as you allow the spirit that lives inside of you to have its way. And I got to tell you, the Spirit of the Lord wants you to sense and feel his nearness in your life. You need to take time to sit before him in your busy schedule and just ask for him to come and reveal himself and do it each and every day until finally you're overwhelmed because he shows up and he just blows you away. You can't believe. You think that you've taken something. Somebody's dropped some kind of drug in your drink. And you go, oh, what is this? And it's Jesus. That's the Jesus. He's after you. He's after you. If you have a mom and dad that pray for you, you're in trouble. If you're running, because you can run all you want to. When people, if you have a grandma, that's worse. Or a grandpa, that's worse. I listened to Lecrae's testimony the other day, a Christian rapper, and I was just so blown away by his testimony. I thought it was so awesome, and the things he went through. And he thought, you know, being a Christian was like being like his grandma, and he wasn't nothing to do with that. And he found out that it was much more because he ended up going to a conference, Lecrae did, and all of a sudden he's at this conference, and he's seeing rappers rapping. He's seeing singers singing, musicians, and he's seeing dancers. And he's going, what is this? And he hears all these people talking about how they're in love with Jesus, and they're his peers. All he's known is the streets. And they're his peers, and he's... What's going on? They're rapping. I don't know what they're rapping about. This Jesus. And finally, he has a car accident and rolls his car. It rolls and rolls, and his glasses were even embedded in the dashboard. And he came out without a scratch, and he made a phone call. And he found him some Jesus right away. And now he raps. And when he started rapping in a like a boy's home, he started rapping to these young men, and he couldn't believe what would start happening. They would start weeping and crying, and they would say things like, could you do that one song? That one song you do. Could you do that one song? Because when you do that one song, it gives me strength. It gives me hope. And the man is sold out to Jesus. I love Christian rap. I really do. Caleb, my son, has got me to love it. And I enjoy it. You know what I enjoy most about it? It's in your face. It's not about compromising. It's about walking it and knowing Jesus and living for Jesus. Jesus will govern the earth, folks, in partnership with who? A bunch of resurrected saints. He's going to govern the earth with resurrected saints. You and I. There's going to be more going on in the earth. There's going to be people here. I can't go into all that. There's going to be all kinds of things. His throne is going to flow with rivers of life that flow into the seas and the earth and change the whole dimension of our earth to restore our earth from all the sin and all the pollution, and the coral reefs will look like they've never looked before because of Jesus. That's what he offers. It's in the scripture. And people don't talk about that. Oh, yeah, you know, I know Jesus. Some people don't even know who he is. But you got to understand, he's coming back to govern. He's coming back to do what? To have a resurrected earth with resurrected saints, ruling and reigning for all eternity. So when you talk about Jesus and you say, what is he all about? Who is he? And you begin to really search it and you really get it, and it starts, you go, what am I doing? How much am I living for myself? And how much am I really sold out? And no matter what you've been through, you have never been through what he's been through. And you know what? It doesn't matter. He's going to love you back if you just say yes, if you just turn to him. You can accept him tonight. Recently, I heard of, I don't want to, no names at all, but God is really going to begin to judge and sift, I believe, many men and women that have stolen from the house of the Lord, that have misused things. And I heard recently of a large church that got completely apprehended by the government, and the reports from the CPA of the church just mortified the congregation and the people because they couldn't believe what was happening. And God sifted that church, and he loves that pastor and those people. He wants to draw them back, but he's sifting. Now, let me tell you another story. I can't say this guy's name. This guy's name is Mike Bickle. And Mike Bickle is part of the International House of Prayer, Kansas City. He has 24/7 worship and prayer going on. Right now, all the mission groups all over the globe are at that prayer room praying for the missions to go forth all over the earth. Right now, from all over the nations. Just recently, just a little bit ago, who was the president from where? President from Colombia was in their prayer room crying out for the nation and different nations. The president of Colombia. Okay, Mike Bickle, this is what I know. Because I know senior leadership, I've watched the story, I've watched his life, I believe he's the real deal, just a man, but he's the real deal. Mike Bickle says he and his wife said, we're going to live a simple lifestyle unto the Lord. And so as far as I know, to this day, as huge as that ministry is, his wife runs Gladheart Realty, and there, it's kind of on the inside. Their hope is that they can give $1 billion into the kingdom. And so everything that comes in, they sow it back into the kingdom. And he lives in a duplex that he doesn't own. And they own a real estate company. And he drives a late model car. Now, that's not to condemn anybody. There's nothing wrong with enjoying blessing and when you receive blessing. And it's how you use it. But he knew that that was going to be a big temptation because of the finances that were going to come in to that ministry. So he made a vow with God to live a simple lifestyle and lives in a duplex. You see the difference? God is sifting and cleansing. Why? Because he loves. And he doesn't want any one of us to be left out. That's a true story. This is who Jesus is. Let's keep going. The last thing I read, I think, was Revelation 26. I might have read that. They shall be priests of God and shall reign with him 1,000 years. 1,000 years will rule and reign with him on the earth. There's a long story I could go in about that after the 1,000 years, but we won't talk about that yet. The theme of the book of Revelations is that Jesus is returning to the earth to rule all nations as a king. Revelations 19:16, on his robe a name is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Zechariah 14:9 says, and the Lord shall be king over the whole earth. The prophetic book of Zechariah says, he shall be king over the whole earth. The Father has decreed this for Jesus, the Son of David, giving him all the nations as his inheritance. Psalm 2:8 says, I, the Father, will give you the nations for your inheritance. In the millennial reign, the 1,000-year reign, when he comes back, and he comes back to judge the nations, all those that are making fun of him, he wants grace, grace, grace. How much longer, Lord? How much longer? Because of love. But finally, he will come. In the millennium, all the kings of the earth will be saved. In the millennium, we'll worship Jesus. And we'll be their base will be in Jerusalem. And all the government throughout the earth will be ruled by what? The Word of God. Not the Word of man. This is what we have to look forward to. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, the prophet, he saw a vision of God. As the Ancient of Days, which is the Father, sitting on the fiery throne, and the wheels are turning. And the fiery throne and the wheels is just the plans of God being fulfilled, the fiery plans and purposes of God being fulfilled. The Ancient of Days, to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all nations and languages should serve him. That's Daniel 7:13-14. Then Jesus quoted Daniel 7:27 concerning his rule over the nations of the earth. In Matthew, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All nations will be gathered before him. So who is Jesus? He's everything. That's why you cannot say it's not all about Jesus. It is all about Jesus. The Father wants you to know it's all about Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants you to know it's all about Jesus, the King of glory. Where we lay our lives down for him, not for ourselves. The Father's given Jesus all favor, his leadership over the earth. Jesus will receive all the power, meaning the governmental authority, all the riches, all the money and natural resources, all wisdom, that's insight, all strength, physical strength, including all the labor force and human resources, glory, all praise and love, honor. All will esteem and obey him, and blessing. Blessing is they'll come into agreement with his policies, and there'll be a unified cooperation throughout the whole earth. Where do I find that? Revelations 5, 11 and 12. The voice of many angels saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Isn't this what they sing around the throne day and night? Why? Because it's going to happen. I encourage all of you tonight to really consider how you walk things out. Don't live in an old system, and don't live in old wounds or lies. And don't try to be liked by everybody. I believe if you love Jesus, you really love him, the love of God is going to manifest through you. Why don't you guys stand for a minute? And ask the worship team just to come up for a minute. I just want to try to encourage you as we close the night tonight about three different ways to really encourage the Lord about your life, that you would encourage him by coming in agreement with his will, right? And saying yes, saying, "Jesus, you are the faithful witness. You are the King of glory." It took a lot for him to stand for truth and a lot of courage. He is the firstborn. Rejoice in that. He is the ruler of the kings of the earth. He will be. He is now. They just don't know it yet. All the kings on the earth will bow before him. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Why don't you come in agreement tonight in just a time of prayer and saying, "Lord, I agree with who you are, the greatness of who you are." And it's not like, you know, wow, man, he really wants us to worship him that way and all that stuff. It's not like he is a prideful, egotistical king. He laid his life down for us. He died for us. He rules from a place of love. How about this? Jesus. How about this one? "Jesus, will you reveal yourself as the faithful witness in my life? Will you show me more of your glory and your presence and your word?" Now, you can just let these words just kind of, you know, float right over you. Or you can say, "No, I want to ask that tonight. I really do." And what about this one? What if tonight you responded in faith to be obedient to the things that Jesus has called you to be faithful? What if tonight you say, "I'm going to stand for truth regardless of what it costs me"? What if you say that tonight? "I'm going to stand for truth regardless of what it costs me. I don't care if people make fun of me." I remember playing drums in a club band. And it was a pretty hot band. And we were doing the Chicago circuit. And we were booked out 3 or 4 months. And it was kind of the house band and some big clubs. And I remember when Jesus got a hold of me one night. He'd already been after me. And I'd already known him, but I backslid away from him. And I remember being in this club, and I remember really encouraging the people to party more. And all of a sudden, all of us were in the band, and all of a sudden I saw these people, and I saw them drinking, I saw them drunk. I could tell you when a fight was going to break out, no matter where it was, in the bar, the club. That gift of discernment, I could see it happen. And I thought, man, what's going on? And the Lord started pulling at my heart to come back to him, to come back to him. And I remember at 2:30 in the morning, it's a true story, 2:30 in the morning, I got in my car, got ready to leave, and a couple guys that I knew, they were on their motorcycle, and they stalled the motorcycle about 2 or 3 times before they got out of the parking lot, and I thought, oh man, they're not going to make it. And it was Highway 6 and 51 in Hobart, Indiana. And I was driving down Highway 6, Ridge Road, they call it. And these guys were in front of me. And these guys blew a red light, a green, yeah, red light, blue or red light. And there was a van that was coming from a wedding with a family, and it hit these guys head on right in front of me. And I saw them fly across the road. And I, of course, jerked the car over. I got out. I ran to both these men. And both these men were dead on impact. I won't go into what I saw, but they were dead on impact. And I remember taking their eyes and closing their eyes because their eyes were still open, and I knew they were gone. And I ran over to the van and tried to comfort the family, and they seemed to be okay, but they were shook. And so I stayed there till the paramedics came. And then I got back in my car, and I was pretty sober as I drove to my apartment by myself. And I remember the Lord speaking to me, saying, "Are you going to be part of the problem or part of the solution?" And I remember Him saying that to me. And I had this vocal teacher. I wish I could get my money back from her. But anyway, I had this vocal teacher, but it wasn't about me singing. It was about her witnessing Jesus to me. And she wouldn't stop telling me about Jesus. As soon as I walked in, I knew I was in trouble. And I saw her house. And then this Sunday school teacher in the Nazarene church, she would go out to the bar with her friend where we were playing. And she'd sit there and have her Coca-Cola. And she would just listen to us play. And every time she walked in, it was like, "Oh no, there's Jesus again." And it would bring conviction. And God had already got me. So this was before. So when it happened, I go home. She had given me a tape, a cassette tape. And on that tape was a song by Brian Duncan. And the name of the song was, "I Love You With My Life." And I played that song after two people just died about 20 minutes before I got into my apartment. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit came in and I was transformed because I knew that I needed Him desperately. And I knew that I was part of the problem of those two guys drinking till they were blind drunk to lose their lives right in front of me. I don't understand all that, but I knew at that moment that everything had to change. And the next day I went to Tommy Ward, the band leader, and I said, "Tommy, you know I've been talking a little bit about Jesus?" "Yeah." I said, "I got to tell you what happened last night. And Jesus came and transformed my life. I've got to leave the band." "Man, you don't have to leave the band. You can still love Jesus, be here." I said, "No." I said, "You don't understand. I can't live in this environment and be what God's called me to be." Now, I would go back since, after being radically saved, I would go back and minister in the clubs with somebody else and stand outside the door and hand out a tract. I was one of those guys. Oh, no. Because it was burning in me that everybody needed Jesus. So I tell you tonight, every one of you need Jesus. And every one of you need Him more than you've ever needed Him. Because there's so much more He wants to reveal to you about His love and His plan and His destiny for your life. The Cray said yes to Jesus and no to the gangster lifestyle. The Cray said yes. And so I just want to pray. And I just want to ask you tonight, especially if you don't know if you're saved, if you question your salvation tonight, I want to lead you to Jesus. I want to tell you how to accept Him into your heart. I want to tell you how He will come blasting in. Don't wait for something bad to happen. Right now can be your moment to say yes to Christ. And if you haven't been living the way that you need to live for Him, right now, public affirmation, you can say yes. And you can walk up here and pray. And just, we'll pray over you. We'll come around you and pray that God will reveal more of who He is to you. If you're backslidden, come on up. So let's open up the altar. Let's let David sing. And if you need Him tonight, and you want to make tonight, this is the Jesus that loves you. This is the Jesus that won't let you down. This is the Jesus that will fight for you. He's coming to fight every enemy that's trying to kill you. But I got to let you in on something. The enemy's trying to kill you. So is he. But in a good way. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. I'm dying to my flesh. It's no longer me. It's Jesus. I'm not there yet, but I really want to be. So let's just pray. Let's close our eyes. Jesus, the altar's open. We come in agreement tonight, Jesus, that you are the faithful witness. We come in agreement tonight, Jesus, that you took a courageous stand for all of us, and that you are the firstborn. You are the ruler of the kings of the earth. All the kings of the earth will bow before you, Jesus. We want you to know that we love your greatness. So, Jesus, will you reveal yourself to us tonight as a faithful witness? Will you show us more of your glory as the firstborn and as the king over all the kings? Will you help us, Holy Spirit, to respond in faith and be obedient to Jesus? We will stand for truth. We will stand for truth. We will stand for truth. We will stand for you, Jesus. You are truth. Regardless of what it costs us, you are truth. For a minute, just ask him whatever you need to ask him. You to come to the altar if you want to be sung over. I want these singers to sing over you prophetically about who he is and all that he is. I'm just going to keep it open just for a moment.
do I have that's worth anything?
Lay it all down, Lord.
But you.
Dreams and visions. We ask for your sweet fragrance of your presence. We ask that you would open up our eyes, that the word would run swiftly through our hearts, that we would hunger to know your word and to know you more. We say yes to your will and not our own. Lord, I ask that you would cause all of us to be radical for you, to reflect who you are. Thank you for everyone that came tonight. And we pray for them and pray just blessing on them, that they would be blessed of knowing you in a deeper way. Thank you for every woman, every man that's come here tonight, young and old, every prophetic word that's been spoken, every healing that's taken place, every prayer that's been prayed. Thank you that you're real. You're seated at the right hand of the Father. Somehow, some way, you peer over the balcony of heaven and you see everyone in here, and you know all of our hearts, and you know all of our prayers, you know all of our needs. So lead us on, King of Glory, Lion of Judah, lead us on so that we would stand and reflect who you are in these days and the days ahead. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. God bless you. We're going to keep this in a place of prayer right up here. Please stay if you're here at the altar. We want to pray for you. If you need to come up, that's fine too. God bless you. Go in peace. God bless you guys. It's all about Jesus, isn't it? It always will be. It's all about Jesus. Thank you. for those of you that are here, I just want you to keep Deb in your prayers. She just received Jesus as her Lord and Savior first time, so keep her in your prayers throughout the weeks and months as she goes deeper in the things of God.
Thank you.